I'm going to be speaking out of Hebrews chapter 11. You can be turning to that. This is something that has been birthed out of me that I'm wrestling with, I guess. I don't know, maybe wrestling with is too strong of a word. But as you're turning to that, let's just pray over this scripture and pray again over our time. I just feel like I want to do that. Father, we say that we love you. We love you, Father. And I'm reminded in your word that it says that if we love you, we will follow your commandments. And so, Lord, we look into your word again this morning, corporately, as a body of believers, as an extension of the body of Christ, Lord God, or actually the body of Christ, Lord. We look into your word and we want to know your heart, Father. We don't want to just head knowledge of commandments and rules or anything like that to follow. Lord, we're looking into your word because we want to know your heart. We want to know your will so that we can walk in obedience to that. It's because we love you, Father. And Lord, we pray that you would open our ears and open our hearts, Lord God, that we can actually hear what you're saying to us. We pray that we would receive whatever the Holy Spirit would teach us in this, Father. Lord, I believe that you can do far beyond what we could ask or imagine here this morning. Lord, I believe that you can take the feeble words that I use to express what you've laid upon my heart and turn it into something glorious into someone's else's heart, Lord God. And allow them to grow and be the people that you want them to be. We know your word is already blessed, Lord God, but we ask a blessing upon your time here as we look into your word. We love you, we praise you, and Lord, ultimately we want to give you the glory for all things. It's in Christ's name. Amen. I'm in Hebrews 11, and I'm just going to read the first couple of the verses there, then we'll come back to it. And it's a very popular passage of Scripture. It says, "Now faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof is of what is not seen. For our ancestors won God's approval by it." Now I'm reading the Holman Christian Standard Version, which I don't know. It's okay, I guess. "By faith, we understand that the universe was created by God's command so that what is seen has been made from things that are not visible." Now, I'm just going to stop there. We're going to read some more of Hebrews 11, but just to kind of get our mind on the same page here, I want to speak to you about the subject of faith here, and not because I have arrived. In fact, like I said, this is being birthed out because God is pushing me. I believe we come to areas in our Christian life, what I call plateaus, and if you're not careful, you'll kind of stay right there, and God continues to push us and grow us. He wants to grow us more, and this is kind of where I'm at in my Christian life, that God is pushing me and wants to grow me in the area of faith. So I'm coming to you not trying to come across like I've got it all, that I'm this super guy of faith. That's not at all what it is, but it's God birthing something in me and doing a work in me. I've been more convinced that God wants to raise a people of faith. God wants men and women of faith. He wants that. That is his heart's desire. When you look through biblical history and you read these stories here, God is really raising. He wanted more faith to be birthed in these men and women that he was using in these stories. This term isn't original with me. You've probably heard it before, but I see God doing what it's been said before and what I would call too, like progressive revelation. It's like he gave them instruction, not the complete picture, but he gave them instruction and then faith was enacted in them and they took a step and then God gave more instruction and more faith and more instruction and more faith. We see that in different portions of Scripture. Probably the greatest example of that is Abraham, and we'll look at him as well. That God said, I want you to leave your country and go to a city that I will show you. Now, that's not a whole lot of information, but Abraham did it. He took that step. He took that step of faith. God is looking for true, authentic faith. The kind of faith that is from God. And this may be a sermon all in itself, but I believe in some ways, faith is a gift. In fact, Romans tells us that He has given each a measure of faith. I don't think faith is something that we kind of muster up in within ourselves or anything like that. We're going to look at it here this morning. But when God sees a heart that is turned towards Him, because it begins with a heart, when He sees a heart that is turned towards Him, it's almost like faith is applied and faith is enacted in that person. I have no other way. I hope I'm explaining how I feel in my heart about this. I'm a young Christian. I've known the Lord for 20 years now. And I feel like that's young. There's so much more I have to learn. There's a lot of areas in my life, perhaps, where I'm immature. And as I am looking at this thing of faith, 20 years later, after being saved, 20 years later, I'm looking at this topic of faith. God is speaking so strongly in me that He wants men and women of faith. He wants faith to rise up within your hearts. You know, faith is such a huge part. Everything is hinged upon faith in our Christianity. Everything. I mean, if you're going through this and you don't have faith, I mean, who are we kidding? What do we got? We've got good values and good morals and things like that. But there's something about the faith that is the main ingredient or the catalyst for this. In fact, there's passages of scriptures that says that here in Hebrews, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. There's a passage of Scripture in Romans that says, anything outside of faith is considered sin. This whole thing is hinged upon faith. And so, here I am, 20 years later, standing behind a pulpit, sharing my heart on what God is stretching me in. Faith has to be more than intellectual agreement. And to be transparent with you, for a long time in my Christian life, faith was intellectual agreement. And what I mean by that is that I aligned my mind and my heart up with some Christian teaching and values, and to me that was the substance of my faith. That was faith in the complete package. But where God has been stretching me is that it is more than intellectual agreement. It's certain of the things that I can't see, like it says there in Hebrews 11:1. It's what our ancestors were approved by God for. If you were to ask me what is my faith, and there is this part of it isn't an ingredient to it, and there's a part of it, but it should be the seed form of it, and it should grow from here. I would just tell you the things that I believe in. And when you look at faith in the Scripture, it's always showing what the person did in faith. And I hope I can explain this well. God is looking for faith to be raised up in you. And I believe faith like our forefathers. Why would God have given us Hebrews 11, a whole chapter dedicated to what faith looks like? This is what faith looks like. Basically, God is saying, you want to know what faith looks like? He gives us a little short definition of it. And He says, this is what faith looks like. And this is what I want you to pursue, is this kind of faith. I don't know. I don't know about you, but I don't think there's been any recent archaeological find of evidence that we should have any kind of different kind of faith. There's not any new set of scriptures that tells us, oh no, you can't have the faith like our forefathers. Because see, there was a tendency for me when I would read the scriptures and I would read Hebrews 11 that I would shrink back and I would say, well, that was for that time and for those people and that was that, but that's not for Matt. And I was always happy with the mustard seed of faith, and I would protect that, and I would carry that around with me. It was the, you know, the mustard seed of faith, and we read that in Scripture, and probably a lot of us that grew up in a Mennonite community or those kind of church settings, that we would really rely heavy upon that mustard seed of faith, and we would protect that, and we would carry that around because God said mustard seed faith can move mountains. And I believe that. But a seed is not, God didn't design a seed to stay in seed form. It's to be planted and it's to grow. In fact, it tells us in other portions of Scripture that the mustard seed, when it's planted, grows to be the biggest of all the garden plants, and it provides shade and shelter for the birds and all those different things. In fact, I'm not even going to put it on your laps. I would boast about a mustard seed faith, and there's a time and a place for that, that people are so discouraged that you need to encourage them, hey, small faith can do big things too, okay? There's a place for that, but don't live there. I believe we should plant that seed and allow our faith to grow. We don't want to forget that also five other times in the New Testament, Jesus rebuked little faith. Five other times in Scripture. Matthew 6:30 talked about worrying about tomorrow. What will you eat and what will you wear? Jesus said, you have little faith. Matthew 8:26, Jesus and his disciples were in a boat and a great storm arose. And while Jesus was sleeping again, he said, why are you timid, you men of little faith? Matthew 14:31, Peter walks on water, takes his eyes off Jesus and begins to sink. And Jesus says, oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt? Matthew 16:8 went across the boat into another region, but forgot to take some of the bread that Jesus just miraculously supplied in the feeding of the 4,000. And as the disciples were discussing this among themselves, Jesus said, you men of little faith. Matthew 17:20 the disciples tried to cast out demons, but couldn't, and asked Jesus why they could not cast it out. And Jesus responded by saying, because of the littleness of your faith. Now, I'm not trying to promote anything weird or radical here, but I am trying to birth faith or encourage faith to rise up within you. The kind of faith that we read about in Scripture. At least that's where I'm at. You know, the whole concept of faith is an amazing thing if you think of it. The God of the universe, by His design, this is all by God's design, that faith, when it is initiated in a person, it touches the very heart of God. I don't understand it. In fact, that's how salvation comes into play. You know, faith rises up and it touches the very heart of God, and then grace from heaven pours down. And that's how, you know, that's a simplistic way of saying it, but that's how we're saved, really, because it's grace through faith. And faith rises up and God pours out grace. It's really an amazing thing, faith, that it would cause a person to completely live their life in a different way. Hebrews 11, again, gives us good examples of that. It'll cause you to live your life in a different way, true, authentic faith. Yes, there's a foundation of biblical teaching there. There's the foundation of our Christianity and all of that, and for some reason inside of me that's telling me that is the seed form of it, but it grows from there and it affects our life, it affects our relationships, it affects our church community, all of that. God wants faith to grow in us. Faith comes by hearing. I said earlier how I was the kind of person that I would come into a situation and I would white knuckle it or grip my teeth and I just think I could have more faith, more faith, more faith. Well, the Bible tells me faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17. and that hearing by the message of Christ. Faith comes by hearing. Now, this is going to sound simplistic to you, but you want more faith? Read God's Word. Read God's Word. It's amazing, especially when you get in the New Testament there, how you read God's Word and you allow it to saturate your heart and your mind. Faith will come out of that. You will grow in faith through God's Word. Faith comes by hearing God's Word. And not only by God's Word, God speaks in various forms. Here recently, I've heard testimony. You know, Muslims are coming to Christ, and you know how they're coming to Christ? Through visions and dreams of Jesus. They're having visions and dreams of Jesus. And faith is being birthed inside of a Muslim who's living in those Arab countries, and he's having a vision and dream of Jesus. Jesus appears to them in a vision, and faith is birthed inside of them. My sister-in-law, she had a dream that she was in the presence of the Lord. Godly fear came over her, and her and her family decided to go to church, and she got saved through it. There's various ways that we can hear. In the Old Testament, it was through the prophet. God would speak to various people. Faith, God would speak to an individual through the Holy Spirit, such as Abraham, as we see an example of his life. Faith comes by hearing. I want more faith in my life. I need to hear God. I need to hear from God. And that can be done through prayer. That can be done through a church community like this. It can be done through praise and worship. It can become through Bible study. I believe God can use various forms in this. Faith comes by hearing. I love this passage of Scripture. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7 says, "Your faith, by the way, worth more than gold," it says. It says, "Your faith, comma, worth more than gold." That's how precious faith is to God. When He sees faith rise up in a person, that is so precious to our Father. He sees that and He is pleased with that. And He wants that, and He wants more faith, and more faith to rise up within you. Your faith, worth more than gold, when refined, will be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor. I love that verse. And your faith, when it is tested, when it is refined, God is doing a beautiful work. Don't reject that. Don't reject the testing of your faith. Don't reject the things that we go through. I would have a tendency to shake my fist at heaven and say, "God, why? Why are we doing this? Why are we going through this? Why is this happening?" Don't reject that. When I got saved while I was in prison, November of 1994, 3 months later, my mother was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. I was 3 months being a Christian. I told the Lord while I was in a prison cell, I said, "You turn my life around and I will forever serve You." I said, You've got to change this life. I've made a mess of it. Two of my friends are dead, and here I am sitting in a prison cell. So, totally gave my life to Him. 3 months later, my mother's dying of pancreatic cancer. Talk about a real wrestling of faith. It was a real kick, a spiritual gut kick to me, and I wanted to give in on it. But my faith was being refined and will be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor. God wants a people of faith. Are you with me this morning on that? God wants to raise a people of faith in this community. I mean, who are we kidding? If we're not careful, more people are going to turn to crack than Christ. We're hearing the heroin is the rise of heroin again. We're hearing so much what is going on around the world. God wants to raise up a generation. It may be a remnant. It may be a few, but God will use that. Don't you believe it? What is faith? What is this thing of faith that God has designed, that is our connection to heaven, that everything is hinged upon faith? What is faith? Well, Hebrews, what I read there, Hebrews 1 and 2 there, gives us a definition. of faith. And I'm going to be honest with you. I read that definition of faith, and it didn't do much for me. I read it and I said, Lord, is this double talk here? I don't quite understand it. Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. For our ancestors won God's approval by it. Now, I'm just being honest. I read that definition, and I don't get a whole lot from it. But when you begin to look at the surrounding verses of this here, collectively, things begin to make sense. You know, Hebrews 11:1 gives us a definition of, 1 and 2 gives us a definition of faith. But there's verses before and there's verses after that give us an example of faith. And I learn better by example. In fact, if you look in Hebrews 10:32-39, listen to what it says here. The writer here is encouraging. There's some that are wanting to retreat back in their faith. They're wanting to go back, and he's encouraging them on how they used to walk and this faith that they had. Listen to what it says. Remember the earlier days when, after you had been enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to taunts and afflictions, and at other times you were companions of those who were treated that way. For you sympathized with the prisoners and accepted with joy the confiscation of your possessions, knowing that you yourselves have a better and enduring possession. So don't throw away your confidence or faith, which has a great reward, for you need endurance so that after you have done God's will, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a little while, the coming one will come and not delay, but my righteous one will live by faith. And if he draws back, I have no pleasure in him. But we are not those who draw back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and obtain life. Now I read that verses 32-39, and that gives me a picture. You want to know what faith looks like? I believe it's given us a picture of what faith looks like. You used to be a people that you counted it joy when afflictions came upon you. When your property was confiscated, you counted it joy because you knew you had a greater return. This is a picture of people who had faith. A faith that was pleasing to the Father. They counted the cost, but they weren't hindered by the loss. L-O-S-S, not lost, but loss. And I, friends, am guilty of making decisions upon losses and gains. That's not faith at all. When you make your decisions upon losses, but personal losses and gains, that's not faith. Look at the losses they had here. Oh, there's been, even just this past year, opportunities to go and serve and minister. And in my unbelieving heart, would have conversations with my wife. Can't do it. I can't take that many days off work, right? Can't do it. True, authentic faith isn't hindered by the loss. If you're writing something down, that's worthy to write down. Faith is a lifestyle. Hebrews 10:32-39 was basically explaining their lifestyle. Now, I know we live in a different age and we don't have the persecution that they were experiencing then, but this was a lifestyle for them. Faith is a lifestyle. Yes, there's intellectual agreement and there's values and there's biblical teachings that our hearts should be aligned with, but also faith is a lifestyle. That's where I want to move towards. I want to move to our lifestyle. Acts chapter 4, when it gave a description of the church, it was expressing their lifestyle. You know, everyone gave and everyone was there in participation, and they held on to the apostles' teaching and to prayer, and there was one heart, they were in accord of one heart and one mind. There was a lifestyle of faith. That's what God so desires. Authentic faith. We don't count the losses. You know, in times of high gains and high losses, what I mean by personal high gains, that this can personally benefit me or this will personally have some losses because of this, that's when faith is tested, at least for me. I think of Acts chapter 8. It's a wonderful story about a ministry that was going on in Samaria. Philip was the missionary there. And Philip had a very successful ministry in Samaria. People were getting saved. People were getting healed. There was great joy in the city there. Man, that would be like a dream ministry for us. You think about it. That's what we long for, right? That's what we, man, you know, people, lives being reconciled, people being healed, people being saved, joy in the city. Boy, that's what we want. Revival. And that's a package of revival, a picture of it right there. And God told Philip, I want you to leave Samaria. Talk about balancing out the losses and the gain there. God, I can't leave Samaria. There's people are getting saved and people are getting healed. I can't leave Samaria. But he left. By faith, Philip left Samaria. A wonderful ministry going on in Samaria. And by faith, he left. Because God wanted to do something else. And that something else was in an Ethiopian eunuch who was struggling in his faith. And he did it. It was his lifestyle. See, when it comes down to it, for me, when you're dealing with somebody's life who is literally hanging by thread, by eternity's thread, what matters is that we are obedient to the Lord at those matters. You can have your doctrine all hammered out. You can have all your values and all of your biblical teaching. You can have it in a nice, pretty little manual like this. But when it comes down to it, God wants us to run alongside the chariots next to an Ethiopian eunuch who's struggling with his faith and walk in obedience in that. That's what it comes down to for me. Amen? God wants that. It's got to go beyond intellectual agreement. It's got to go into a lifestyle. This is where God is pushing me. Faith does something. And in my notes, I put that in capital letters. Faith does something. No one speaks as clearer than the book of James. Now, I know some of you may be thinking, are you dragging us back to 500 years ago to theology of works? No. But I'm telling you, your faith must be in action. There must be a lifestyle there. In fact, James is so strong to say that if you don't have works with your faith, can even such a faith save you? That's strong words. I don't know. If that wasn't in the scripture, I wouldn't be able to say, I wouldn't have the courage to say that behind the pulpit. And we shy sometimes because like me, we want to shy away from the works part of it. You know, I've got the I protect my little faith and my biblical knowledge and my values, and you know, but when it comes down to it, faith must be put into action. What else can we learn from faith? Look at verse 3 here in Hebrews 11. By faith we understand that the universe was created by God's command. Faith has a level of understanding that the natural mind will never understand. Did you get that? Faith will have a level of understanding that the natural mind will never understand. talk about our foundation of faith, the natural mind would say there's no way. A virgin birth is impossible. But faith says, yes, it is possible with God. The natural mind will say there is no way God created this. This whole world was created by Him speaking it in 7 days. There's just no way that that happened. Faith says, yes. Faith says, I understand that. And as we're looking at big things that we know from the Scripture, but when the circumstances of life, and that's when it really hits us in the face, the circumstances of life, are you going to have the spiritual, you're going to be able to put on the faith goggles and be able to see as God is seeing this situation, that faith can understand far beyond. You see, I was 3 months as a new Christian and I could not see what the outcome was going to be. To me, the natural mind, my mother was dying. That was point blank. I was 19 years old. My mother was dying. That's all I cared about. That was all that was in my face. But through that, my mother came to know Christ as her Savior. And see, faith could understand that. The natural mind never could. Faith can understand that. And so when we go through these trials, when we go through these times, sicknesses, whatever it is, maybe it's a big church division or disagreement, this is when we got to really seek the heart of God and say, God, put on the faith goggles. I want to see this as you see this and walk in faith. I want to be able to, because faith will understand things the natural mind never will. Faith can not only understand things, faith can see things. Look at verse 16 here. Oh, I told you wrong. Oh, verse 13. These all died in faith without having received the promises, but they saw them from a distance. Praise God. They saw them from a distance, greeted them, and confess that they were foreigners and temporary residents on the earth. They all died in faith. They didn't receive the promises that God, but they could see it. Their faith could see it. Man, that's the place I want to be. That I see the person that God has placed in my life that's struggling, and I want to be able to see what that person can be in 10 years. I want to be able to see it and move towards that and walk in faithfulness in that. As a leader in the church, maybe this would be encouraging to someone here that you can have the faith to see. Maybe there's some obstacles that you're looking at, but have the faith to see what that can look like. You might not receive it. It might be the next generation, but you're going to work towards that. Or a youth leader, you're working with the youth, and to be able to have the faith to be able to see something there that the natural mind or the natural eyes could never see. You know, faith, if you allow it, faith will speak to you. Faith will encourage you. Faith will speak to you. Faith will tell me, Matt, you're going to rise from the dead, Matt Deputy. And you will stand before Him who has fire in His eyes and a sword in His mouth. And He will declare you righteous before the Father. Faith sees that and understands that. You will participate in a banquet and a wedding feast of Christ and the church. No more sickness, no more pain, no more disappointments, no more heartaches. Pleasures in His right hand forevermore. Faith sees that. Faith sees that and understands that. Can I give my life for that? You see, I hope I'm getting the term right, and if I don't, you can forgive me, but I believe it's like the word of faith movement. And one of the struggles I have with that is that they create their own reality. They try to. They speak to this and they speak to that, and they want to, by faith, they're trying to create their own reality. And what I see here in Scripture, in Hebrews 11 and Hebrews 10, 32 to 39, as they didn't try to create their own reality, by faith they were able to embrace the reality. Does that make sense? They were able to embrace the reality. They weren't trying to create some kind of new reality. They embraced the reality and the life that they were living right then. That's what true authentic faith does. Faith is able to see that. Faith is able to apprehend that, because in my natural mind, I will look at life biased, and I will have a weird perspective of things. And so I keep in line with the Lord and the Holy Spirit and what the Bible teaches us. We keep all in line with that, and it embraces reality. There's nothing wrong with that. Faith apprehends reality. It doesn't try to create some other false reality. It apprehends it. It embraces it. It's kind of like, I'm not a huge 3D movie person, or I think they have 3D books and stuff, and you got to wear these special glasses. And if you were to watch a movie or read one of those books without the special glasses, it looks jumbled, the colors and everything else, and maybe you can pick out some things there. And if someone, whatever it is that you're looking at, and if they had the 3D glasses on and you did, and they would say, look, this is there, and you would say, no, it's not. I don't see it there. But they'd say, yes, it is. It's there. But as soon as you put the glasses on, it's there. It's there. I kind of see faith as operating in our lives that way. Faith embraces reality. It allows us to see things as God sees it, and we move. We take steps of faith and obedience. You want to know what faith looks like? Look at Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and went out to a place he was going to receive an inheritance. That's it in a nutshell. By faith, when he was called, he moved. God wants us to do that. Now, are there checks and balances with that? Absolutely. I don't think we should get these harebrained ideas that every we see something, we should just, there's checks and balances with that. You feel like you should move in a direction or do something or visit or do something, whatever it is, man, continue to pray about it. And those people that God has placed in your life, there are checks and balances with that. I get harebrained ideas all the time, but my wife keeps me in checks and balances. Don't I? God wants us to move in faith. He's raising up a people of faith. He wants faith to rise up within you. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward here this morning, and we're going to have a time of prayer. And one of the things that's encouraging to me as I look at this here is that I talked about mustard seed being a seed form. And I hope I wasn't too hard on that. I hope I wasn't bashing that too much. But that is a place that it needs to start. And maybe there's someone here this morning that has had faith that's been in seed form, and it's ready. It's time to plant that seed and see what God can do with that, to allow that faith to begin to grow. Maybe you're someone here that has related to my testimony and has allowed their faith just to be intellectual agreement. You would ask me what my faith is. Well, I would have to break out my, let's look at creation first, and then we go right on down the line. And faith has got to be more than that. It's a lifestyle. Maybe some of you here have been wrestling with a ministry or something you know the Lord has called you to do. Today is the day, friend. Let's stand to our feet. Today is the day to allow faith to rise up within you. Are you going to? God is looking for a people of faith. It pleases Him. Oh, it pleases the Father. It says if you shrink back, He is not pleased with that. He wants you to continue to be moving forward in this whole concept of faith. Not that we understand it all, but we're going to continue to embrace it and allow Him to take us where it needs to go. So as the worship team leads us, if there's those who would want to respond by coming forward and just praying, maybe it's husband and wife, it's whole families, man, I would love that. Children, young people, come forward, this whole thing of faith. Hey, it's okay even if you say, God, I don't understand it. I just don't understand this thing of faith. That's okay. God does. And He will help you in that. Like I said, I believe it's a gift. If your heart is turned toward God, faith will be poured out. It's a measure of faith that is given to a person, Romans tells you. Faith, say, God, I want to live a life for You, but I don't understand it. That's okay. Just be honest with God. That's what He loves. He loves transparency.